Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. We'll be looking at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24. This is God's Word. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, and not as their teachers of the law. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. When I was a little kid, we sang another song. "The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came a-tumbling down." We'd sing that song, and my impression was that Jesus is the rock. Therefore, if you build your life on Jesus, that is, you believe in Jesus, then you're building on the rock and your life is solid. Everything's going to be fine. If you don't build on Jesus, you're building on sand. And so you're going to lose it. Well, that's kind of close to what Jesus says here, but it's not what Jesus says. Jesus says that building on the rock is not just believing in Jesus in some sort of way. It's doing what Jesus says. Hearing what he says and putting it into practice. Whoa, that's a little more complicated. Yeah, it is. It's called where the rubber meets the road. To say you believe in Jesus, the devil believes in Jesus. Well, wait a minute. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Isn't that verse in the Bible? Yes, and it's absolutely true. But if you look at the whole of Scripture, you see that to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is not just a matter of intellectual faith, just believing it as a concept. It's about having a relationship with Jesus where you trust him. And if you trust him, then it changes the way you live. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I command?" Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we do this? Didn't we do this?" And he says, "I'll say to them, depart from me, I never knew you." Those are the verses that immediately precede what we're looking at right now. Go back and look at verse 21. "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this, this, and this? And I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, Jesus offers two alternatives. Just as previously, he talked about good trees bearing good fruit, bad trees bearing bad fruit. Here, he says, there are only two options. When he talked about the two gates and the two ways, it's always either this or this, either this or this, either this or this. Jesus is saying, either you're building your life on obedience to him, which is the manifestation of faith in him, or you are not. You can't have it both ways. The idea is, you know, I don't want to go to hell. And I believe in Jesus. You know, I think he was a great teacher, and I'm not sure I trust the Bible, but I believe there's something to all this. I think Christianity has been responsible for a lot of bad things down through history, but I also think the church has done a lot of good. And I just don't, I just try not to think about it too much, because basically I want to live a good life. I want to do good things, but I'm not sure that I'm ready to just completely surrender my life to Jesus. So you don't trust him. Well, I'm not saying I don't trust him. I'm just saying that, you know, I'm young and I've got ambitions and I've got things I want to do, and sometimes I feel like, you know, you can get too religious. Not talking about religious. I'm talking about trusting and obeying. Do you trust him? Well, I would say overall, no, I'm saying, do you trust him? Yes or no? Jesus says there are two alternatives. Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice. He doesn't say everyone who hears these words of mine and says, that's not true. You might even believe it's true, but are you putting it into practice? Because that's the evidence of whether or not you're really trusting Jesus. Are you doing what Jesus says? Well, what did he say? Love your enemies, for example. Well, you don't know my enemies. My enemies are really creepy. Jesus didn't say you had to like them. He did not say that. He says we have to love our enemies. Do you rejoice when you suffer for righteousness' sake? If people reject you because you love Jesus, do you think, ooh, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. Or do you think, oh, Lord, thank you so much for the privilege of suffering rejection from people whose real hostility is toward you? I mean, is that true of you? Jesus doesn't say, you know, it would be good for your mental health if you would learn just to rejoice when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. Jesus doesn't say that. He says, do it. Now, you may not imagine this, but there have actually been people who have been unkind to me, who have lied about me, who have worked to keep me out of certain positions of responsibility, like pastoring a church in Knoxville, by lying because they hated the fact that I really believed the Bible. True. There were other people in that church who very much wanted me to come and be their pastor. Would you have left the ranch? No. No. But I would have been willing to give up all the traveling and stuff that I've done to support myself over the years. I was willing to do that. But I was described, slandered, as one who would not even allow women to serve on committees in the church. It's an absolute lie. And it wasn't a lie because it was of ignorance. It was a lie because somebody knew that that would be a way of blocking my being called to that church. Despite the fact that some of my references were from women who had served even chairing committees in the church I pastored in Atlanta, and turns out I was the guy who nominated some of them to serve in those roles, because I don't have any problem with women exercising their gifts biblically and fulfilling positions of leadership in a godly way. But I'll tell you something. When that happened, I was not only stung, I was angry. And as I prayed about it, God said, "What did I tell you to do when this happens?" And I realized, he says, "Rejoice. Consider it a blessing. Consider it a privilege." And I thought, well, I don't feel like that at all. And God said, "You don't operate on the basis of your feelings. You have to do what I told you to do. Rejoice. Give thanks." You know what? God knew that it was better for me not to go to that church. God knew that. God knew that I needed to continue to travel and preach. God knew that. It wasn't easy for me. Jesus didn't say, "Take up your cushion and follow me." He said, "Take up your cross and follow me." Jesus says there are only two alternatives. Only two. You're either building your life on obedience to Jesus' teaching, or you're not. Now again, he doesn't say the other people are publicly rejecting the teaching of Jesus. He says they're just failing to put it into practice. They're not obeying. If I said, "Would you please go and get me a glass of water? I'm having a little problem in my throat." And you sat there and you said, "No, I will not do that." Well, that would be one way of not doing what I asked. But if I said, "Would you please go and get me a glass of water?" And you said, "Sure, I'll do that. I'm doing something else right now, but I'll do that." And I said, "No, I really need a glass of water. Could you please go and get that? Go get me a glass of water, okay?" And you said, "Okay, all right. Just give me a few minutes." Are you doing what I said? When Jesus tells us how we are supposed to live, how we're supposed to treat other people, including our enemies, what our response to suffering is supposed to be, when Jesus describes what obedience looks like and shows us what obedience looks like, he washed his disciples' feet and he said, "Now, do you understand what I've done? You're supposed to treat each other like this. You're supposed to be willing to serve the needs of others. Are you doing that?" Or do you say, "Well, that job is beneath me. I shouldn't have to do that. There ought to be somebody else to do that." Who deserved to go to the cross? Certainly not Jesus. But he went to the cross for us. He took the punishment we deserve. None of us can now do that in his place or in the place of others. But what we can do is what he calls us to, and that is to lay down our lives in service to others, saying, "Lord, I'm going to do this for them as unto you. I'm not doing this for me. I'm not doing it because I enjoy it. I'm not doing it because it feels good. I'm doing this because it's what you've called me to. And I want to serve you." Okay, but I got to have me time. No, you don't. Well, Jesus took time alone. Yeah, he did what the Father told him to do. I'm not saying you can't have downtime. Jesus said to his disciples, "We need to get away for a while and rest." And then, of course, he ended up doing ministry there when he got to the place. But I want you to understand something. All of our time belongs to Him. All of our money belongs to Him. Our body belongs to Him. Our relationships belong to Him. There's not, this is mine, and God can have the rest. The old song, all to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. That is an aspirational song. It is a description of what we need to be seeking to do. Pastor Wood, do you ever still struggle with certain areas of life and really surrendering to the Lord? Yeah, absolutely. It's perfectly fine for you to ask that question. But can I say, I'm going to follow Jesus except in this? No. As God continues to refine me and discipline me and bring me to repentance, I have to again and again say, Lord, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. I prayed that today for the umpteenth time, day after day after day after day, asking God to have His way in me and through me, because that's life. Everything else is death.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and He's holding out His hand.
Jesus makes promises in this passage that we need to recognize. One is that storms are coming. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter where you live, doesn't matter what kind of precautions you take, there will be storms. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. That happened to both houses. It's a promise from Jesus that storms are coming, that things are going to get tough. It's not the same storm for everybody, but everybody has to face storms. Jesus guarantees that one of two outcomes is going to happen. Either, He says, that house will stand or that house will collapse. Those are the only two options. Jesus doesn't offer a third alternative. All through this, as we said before, He just gives two options. Narrow way, broad way. Narrow way leads to life, broad way leads to destruction. So I ask you again, are you building your life? And you are building your life. Are you building it on obedience to Jesus that is based on trusting Him? Do you trust Jesus? Do you believe that He loves you? Do you believe that He loves you so much that He died on the cross to pay for your sins? If you believe that, then how can you not trust Him with your finances? How can you not trust Him with your romance, your relationships? Do you think God has a plan for you? Or do you think somehow you're an oversight? Not important enough. Jesus died on the cross to save sinners like us. And He didn't do it only to cast us aside and say, okay, you're going to heaven, be satisfied with that. If that was all, it would still be amazing. But God has a plan for us in this life. He has a plan for you. If you are seeking to do God's will, He has a plan for you that is wonderful. Okay, so if I'm not seeking to do his will? Does he have a plan for me? Yeah. And you won't like it. You won't like what happens when you don't do his will. Because God's mean and vindictive? No, because he's offering you life. And he's warning you that if you don't do what he says, your world is going to come crashing down. And all those plans you made and all those things you tried to build, it's all going to come to nothing. Because when the storm comes, guaranteed destruction. But folks, he also promises this. If you are endeavoring to trust and obey, the storms will still come. And the storms can be scary, but Jesus says, your house is going to stand firm. You will make it through the storm. God is not going to abandon you. God is not going to write you off. God will preserve you. You look at the lives of his saints. What about Stephen? Stephen was the first Christian martyr. He did what God told him to do. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. His face was like that of an angel as he spoke the truth of the gospel. And they stoned him to death. Yeah, but he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father and was welcomed into heaven by our Lord. Even in the midst of persecution, he did what Jesus said, and he prayed, Lord, do not lay this charge against them. And one of those who was standing there and giving assent to Stephen's execution was Saul of Tarsus. And God would use Saul of Tarsus when converted to be Paul the Apostle, who suffered greatly as he brought the good news to places all around. He gave his life for the gospel as well. He suffered many things along the way. But God had a plan. And despite all the storms that came against him, he was kept by the Lord until the day God called him home. Your house, your life will stand. It will endure if your life is built on obedient faith. Now, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Their teachers of the law said, well, this rabbi says this, this rabbi says this. I don't know. It could be. We don't know. Jesus said, this is the way it is. He spoke with authority. Why? Well, because Jesus Christ is Lord. Yeah, but where did he get this authority? People would ask Jesus that over and over, and Jesus said, I only say what the Father tells me to say. I do what the Father tells me to do. The reason Jesus had perfect authority is because Jesus was under the Father's authority. And the reason that you and I can live confidently and speak with authority is when we are submitted to the Lord. If you want to be able to live with confidence and with authority, surrender your all to Jesus. Because then you can do whatever he tells you without fear, knowing that his will for you is good and acceptable and perfect.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
www.pastorwood.org.